How about a bond ratings upgrade for a change?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. Moody's says it's taking a closer look at China's government bond rating. The ratings agency says it could upgrade Chinese bonds sometime in the near future, and that's certainly bucking the worldwide trend. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
It's sort of like a credit score for a country. And lately, government bond ratings elsewhere have been plummeting. Moody's says Greek bonds are at junk status, and there's concern about Ireland's debt. Not so for China. Moody's may raise its rating to A1, just a few spots away from the coveted AAA rating. Peking University economist Michael Pettis says it's a vote of confidence.
It says that people believe that China has grown a lot in the last couple of years and will continue growing a lot in the next couple of years.
So now that they've got a higher credit rating, can I interest you in some Chinese government bonds? It's actually not that easy. Foreigners technically aren't allowed to invest in China's domestic bond market, but that'll soon change as Beijing begins a trial investment program for foreign banks. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
With the Moody's news today, Chinese stocks shot up more than 3% in trading there, but most other global markets are lower. European stocks are off about 0.5% right now on average. Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq managed a slight gain, but the Dow ended the day 19 points in the hole, closing at 10,948. A little later this morning, the government releases the September employment report. It's expected the private sector added some jobs, but those gains would be offset by the loss of temporary census workers. The Russian economy has boomed over the past decade, but American firms have been slow to take advantage. The White House says U.S. trade with Russia is about the same as with Thailand, a country with an economy a fifth of the size of Russia's. But as Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow, things may finally be on the move.
Russia's commodity-based economy was hit hard by the financial crisis. To fix that, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev preaches a simple economic mantra: modernize, modernize, modernize. To help achieve that, Russia is reaching out to the U.S.
You know, with respect to the economic relationship, things have never been as good as they are right now.
Michelle O'Neill of the Commerce Department says Russian firms want more high-tech goods from U.S. companies. She led a delegation of aerospace business leaders to Russia this week.
When we first started talking to the Russian government about the types of companies we should bring to Russia to, again, broaden and deepen the commercial and trade relationship, aviation was at the top of their list and certainly at the top of our list.
Last month, Boeing signed a $3.7 billion contract to supply 50 planes to Russia, and although no deals were clinched this week, executives on the trip expect these first contacts to produce concrete results soon. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
The Federal Trade Commission has decided it wants to fight greenwashing. What's that? Well, earlier this week, it proposed a new set of guidelines for companies that make their products seem a little greener than they really are. Marketplace sustainability reporter Adrian Hill is with us to talk about what the FTC proposes. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the FTC trying to do here?
Well, basically, up till now, there just haven't been a lot of rules or guidelines keeping companies from calling their products environmentally friendly or eco-friendly. And you've seen those labels. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Basically, the FTC is stepping in and establishing some new standards.
And what sort of things are we talking about?
A lot of the changes will push marketers to make more specific claims that they'll have to be able to back up. So no super general environment claims, like green, for example. If you're going to say your product is made with renewable material, you're going to need to be clear about what it is and what makes it renewable. If you're going to say you can toss it in the compost, it's got to break down at the same rate as the other things you've thrown in there.
It seems like pretty common sense stuff.
for us, but we're not the unscrupulous marketers the FTC is worried about.
No. And if the FTC busts those people for overstating their environmental friendliness, what then?
Well, the agency can take action if it finds a company is intentionally misleading consumers. It can make them stop, issue fines, and it's done some of this already with the current guidelines. The agency brought a case against a couple companies, including Kmart, for calling some paper products biodegradable. The reasoning is that most paper winds up in landfills or recycling facilities where it's not going to biodegrade, and it's unfair to make consumers think otherwise.
And that's interesting. More transparency, more honesty. I mean, it sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, for the most part, it does. It's hard for me or anyone to try to navigate the green claims that are on products everywhere, in part because they just don't mean a lot. And this should help the words on the packaging mean what they say. One concern with proposed rules is that in practice, they could be really complicated. If a product now has to list all the very specific ways it's environmentally friendly, it could be a lot to wade through when making a choice.
So then, Adrian, what's next?
Well, it's comment time. The FTC is accepting comments on its rules through mid-December, and we'd love to hear from you on our website, marketplace.org.
All right. Marketplace's sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, all the business news of the week in a nice little poem we call the Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
Japan has slashed its interest rate, and that set off a great debate. If every state tries to inflate so they can create jobs, well, wait. Then they start to recriminate, and a trade war comes to the fore, and soon we're exchanging goods no more. And that economists abhor. Then you get countries producing stuff that none of them really do well enough, and they're all in a huff, the economy's rough, and life gets tough, and everyone suffers. If you're in for closure, keep your composure. Recently, there was a shocking exposure. Some of those seizures will have to start over. It turns out they weren't exactly kosher. The jobs report's out in less than 3 hours. Democrats fear if employment sours, voters are going to inform the powers that be it's time to hit the showers. Did employers hire? We'll see. And I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.